Well, we want to welcome everyone to Murrayville Baptist Church Wednesday night broadcast, and we appreciate all of you that are already tuning in and those of you that will be tuning in just a moment. Looking forward to what the Lord's going to do in our hearts tonight. It's good to have some of our people here tonight. We've got Nathan, Kim Dinsmore, Bobby, Terry Ransom, Julie Satterfield, John, Debbie, Dale, and the ultimate, Chris Lauer. And we're so thankful that they're here tonight. We're going to be doing a little something after the service. But anyway, we want to enter into this service in prayer tonight and ask God's blessings upon it. I've got some announcements that I need to make, so be sure to listen closely as we get into the announcements and prayer requests. But then I've got a special message for you tonight that I believe will help every one of us who are Christians with this particular subject that we'll be covering tonight. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and I'm going to ask Brother Nathan Dinsmore if he will to open us tonight.
Father, we come to you tonight, Lord. Just want to thank you, Lord, for the opportunity once again to come to church tonight, Lord. While we pray, Father, for those ones that are still sick right now, Lord, that are not able to come to church, or the ones that are having health issues right now, I ask you, Lord, just to lift them up and touch them right now in your name. Lord, I just ask you, Lord, just touch this country, Lord, as this country is in dire need, Lord, of a touch of God.
Yes.
Lord, I just pray for a revival across this land, Lord. Lord, our countries, day and night, we go, Lord, we're seeing our country fall by the wayside. Lord, it's depressing just to watch. And I pray, Father, that you would intervene, Lord, and have your will and your way in this country. I pray for the service, Lord. I pray for my pastor. Lord, I just pray that you anoint him. Father, just to hide him behind the cross, Lord, help him walk and preach to us, Lord. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us.
Amen. Brother Terry, Miss Julie, going to lead us in a couple of songs, so you sing along with them.
Page 94.
The Lord has
Sitting in your house. Amen. Good to see all of you tonight. Well, I can't see you, but maybe you can see me. Amen. I've got some announcements that I need to make and then some prayer requests. Lord willing, I'm going to start this statement with that pretext. Lord willing, this coming Sunday morning, we will be opening our church doors again for Sunday morning services. We will not be having any Sunday school, just morning service beginning at 10:45. Now, remember that, and please exercise caution and safety measures as you see that you need to. And come be with us this coming Sunday morning at 10:45. We do understand, and we've been seeing it on the newscasts, that they're calling for snow, blizzards, whatever you might want to call it. And according to Jeff Haynes, it's going to be the worst we've ever seen here in Gainesville. And just messing with Brother Jeff. But anyway, if the snow does hinder us from having any services this coming Sunday, we will do a call out and let you know. But as far as we know, like I say, Lord willing, we will be having Sunday morning service at 10:45. So be sure to tell everybody you know, make some phone calls, let them know that we'll be open this coming Sunday. And to be honest with you, I'm looking forward to being back in service together with all of you. As I said, if you do come this Sunday, please exercise any safety precautions that you feel that you must. If you feel that you must wear a mask, that's totally at your discretion. And to try to refrain from handshaking, hugging necks, things like that, because this strain of the coronavirus is very contagious. And we've still got a lot of people of our own that's being affected by it and in the hospital. And I'll mention that in just a moment. And I do want to go on and say this. This coming Sunday, if you are sick, if you feel sick, please stay home and just be sure, because a lot of people think, well, all I've got is just a head cold or I'm having some sinus issues. But that's exactly the way it started with me and Debbie, and it developed into the coronavirus. So if you're sick, please stay home and just be on the safe side with everything. I do have a card that I want to read tonight to address to Murrillville Baptist Church. It says, thank you for the beautiful plant, the calls, the text, and prayers. Love the family of Wynell Ransom. And we sure do thank the Lord for taking care of Brother Terry and his family through all of that time. I know that was a hard loss on his family's behalf, but the Lord will see us through anything that we face in life, and so thankful that he has. As far as our prayer requests go tonight, we want to be sure to pray for Diane Ferguson. Diane contacted the COVID, and now she's in the hospital with it. She's also got pneumonia in both lungs, and so we need to really hold Sister Diane up before the Lord and ask God's blessings upon her. Peggy Jackson's, Peggy Phillips, Carolyn Watkins, Kennedy Satterfield, the Stover family, and on and on and on. We could go on and on of people that we need to really hold up, especially in our church, and ask God's mercy and grace in. As I said, this particular strain of the coronavirus has shown itself to be very contagious, and we sure need to pray for one another. As I said this past Sunday, I'm not scared of the coronavirus. I just don't like getting it. Amen. It's no fun at all to have. So you just exercise caution when you're out and about, and be sure to protect yourself during this time. I want you to take your Bibles tonight and come to the book of Matthew chapter number 7. And I'm going to cover a subject that's been bumping around in my spirit for quite some time. And I have been not reluctant, but I've just not gotten around to putting this thought together and this study together. And it will be a Bible study format tonight, and we'll be looking at a lot of scripture, because we wanna be sure to look at what the Bible says about this subject that we're going to cover tonight. And my subject, my topic, my question to ask tonight to all of our hearts and to answer from the Bible is this question: is it right for Christians to judge? Is it right for Christians to judge? I want you to look with me in just one verse of scripture we're going to open with tonight, and I'll make some opening remarks, and then we'll get into the bulk of this study tonight and answer this question: is it right for Christians to judge from the Word of God? So let's look at Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 1, a very often quoted verse of Scripture. It says, judge not that ye be not judged. And we want to consider that thought tonight and examine it from what God's Word says and answer it for ourselves, in our hearts and in our minds, and settle this once and for all: is it right for Christians to judge? So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll bring you our thoughts for the evening. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, we're blessed people. Lord, just to be able to still have freedoms that we do have, to gather around the good Word of God and to learn and Lord, to direct our attention and our hearts, Lord, upon the Word of God. And Lord, we're thankful, Lord, that you're still interested in teaching this book to people. And I pray, God, that tonight, as we gather around this blessed old Bible, that, Lord, you would open our hearts to the Scriptures, open the eyes of our understanding, that we might see wonderful truths from your book tonight. Bless everyone that's here, everyone that's listening by broadcast, those that will listen in sometime in the future. God bless this. Open up doors that this broadcast might go out to many, many, and that the Word of God would have free course and be glorified among us. We love you, Lord, but most of all, thank you for loving us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen and amen. One of the most commonly used scriptures from the Bible quoted by the world to Christians is the first two words of our opening verses, in which they'll say, judge not. They have those two words committed to memory, and they use them frequently to try to correct or try to control anyone who may tell them that they are wrong. I believe it would be beneficial for every Christian to consider this topic from the scriptures rather than relying upon the interpretation of and the misrepresentation of the world. Because of their persistence to force our hand on this subject, many Christians have adopted their mentality concerning this topic. And instead of standing for the truth, we have succumbed to the pressures of the world. When you study any subject from the Word of God, you must study it in its entirety, not simply from two words or even two scriptures. The Bible is written like no other book in the world, and to properly understand it and any given doctrine that it may cover, it must be studied over and over until the fitted scriptures are properly pieced together. The subject for our consideration this evening, as we gather ourselves around the Word of God, is it right for Christians to judge? I want us to consider the opening statement that we read tonight, and I want us to read the first five verses because the whole five verses are dealing with this subject about us judging. And we can easily see as we read through it that it is a warning by Jesus Christ about our personal judgments. Read with me, beginning in verse number 1 again of Matthew 7. It says, "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how will thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye, thou hypocrite. First, cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." It is easy to see and understand from these verses that Jesus is issuing a warning about the manner in which we judge other people. If we simply judge matters or events or even individuals based upon our preferences or our personal likes and dislikes, we may expect for anyone to return the same judgment in the same manner upon us. When you consider anyone's opening statement, when they say, "Well, you know, the Bible says, don't you judge me," we can hear it in their spirits that they are set for a defense and they're going to render judgment back upon us just as sure as we judge them. Any one of us could be judged and found guilty of some wrong in the eyes of man. And it happens all the time. Every one of us have entered a debate or discussion with someone of opposing views, and our rendered judgments upon them have reciprocated their judgments upon us. Then what do? Normally, we take it personal. We enter into a personal battle of judgments, which even today, and especially today in our divided world, results in contentions and heated arguments, which makes the trench of division even deeper and harder to cross. To name a few of these ingrained divides that are among us even today, there are divisions of political parties and political views. There are governing divisions such as socialistic supporters versus the free market views of societies. There are differing cultural views as the roles of men and women in the world. And there are differing religious views exemplified around the world with all the different denominations in every society of people. With these inherited divisions, how should a Christian view and render his judgments in any situation? Well, I want us to consider the illustration that Jesus Christ has given us from these scriptures that we've read tonight. And I want us to notice, before we analyze the verse 3, 4, and 5, the illustration he gives, I want us to first look at the third word of the fifth verse. He says, first. So he's going to give us some priorities. He's going to give us some first of what we must do in our own lives and before we can render judgment upon anyone else. How do we respond? How do we react in our judgments? So the Lord is setting a precedent for us to consider our judgments. The first thing I want us to know is our consideration from verse number 3. He said, why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? What he's saying, he says, we need to do some self-examination. The very vivid illustration by Jesus drives home his point. He said, why? Why can you see a mote in your brother's eye, but you cannot see the beam that is in thine own eye? A mote is a very small twig or a piece of straw, but a beam is a stick of timber. Why can you see so clearly, the Lord says, that tiny speck that's in your brother's eye, but you cannot behold the 2x4 you've got hanging out of your own eye? I want you to listen to first some of the verses in the Word of God about us self-examining ourselves. He says in 1 Corinthians 11:28, but let a man examine himself. In Lamentations 3:40, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 13:5, he says, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. And then again in 1 Corinthians 11:31, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But let me say this, that the best examination we could ever go through is not self-examination, but the Lord examining our lives. The Bible says in Psalms 26, verse number 2, examine me, O Lord, and prove me, try my reins and my heart. When King David was considering the enemies of the Lord, he wrote down some things about how he considered the enemies of the Lord. He wrote down some things, and we're going to read them in just a minute, but he made his position clear of how he viewed them. But then once he stated his judgments upon them, he asked the Lord to make sure his judgments were pure and right. Listen as King David writes the words about the enemies of the Lord. In Psalms 139, verses 19 through 24, the Word of God, David wrote these words. He said, surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Man, that's some bold statements that David made about the enemies of the Lord. And as he viewed them, he hated them with a passion. But just as soon as he said those words, in the very next verse, he said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. David knew that maybe through his zeal for the Lord and his righteous actions toward those who rose up against the Lord, maybe he was rendering some judgment upon them, maybe in haste. And so David says, dear God, please come in and examine my heart and make sure that I've got the right spirit with you. So first he deals with our consideration, but secondly, in verse number 4, he deals with our cumbrance. He says, how wilt thou say to the brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? When we don't first consider ourselves, how will we ever enter into a discussion or attempt to help anyone else with opposing views? And that seems to be the goal of judgments, to help someone else with our views. And then he talks about our clearness in verse number 5. He said, "Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see," look at it, "clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." We need the clearness of the Lord in our lives first to be able to help anyone with differing views other than us. My dad and his brothers owned a machine shop down in Waycross when I was a little boy. That's what my business, my dad and his brothers were in. And they were all, and back in their heyday, they would employ maybe 600 employees at the time. Well, they were always working with metal, and there was metal shavings flying everywhere, welding and cutting torches going. And people were all the time getting little pieces of metal in their eyes. Well, my dad was the self-appointed medical doctor at Dell Industries, and he would try to get any maybe piece of metal that was in somebody's eye out, maybe with a magnet or maybe a sterile cloth, to try to avoid having to carry them to the hospital or anything like that. And sometimes it would be necessary to send them to the hospital. But Dad would try with his own eyesight to look in there through a magnifying glass and be sure to reach in there and help that individual get that little piece, that little speck that was bothering their eyesight. Listen, how could Dad have ever been able to help anybody if he walked up there and he had both eyes full of metal himself? He would never have been able to help anybody else. And that's what the Lord is dealing with in Matthew 7 verses 1 through 5. He's saying that we need to be sure to examine ourselves first and make sure our lives are clear enough that we can help others in this matter of judgment. But then not only the opening statements of what Jesus said, I want us to consider the overall scriptures of judgments. I want us to first look in Luke chapter 18 with me tonight. Luke chapter 18. And I want you to watch this with me from the Word of God. And I want you to look at the definition of unjust judgments from the Word of God. In Luke chapter 18, the Word of God reads like this. Jesus is speaking a parable to them, and it's a parable about prayer. And the thrust of it is prayer. But in this parable, he talks about an unjust judge. Look in Luke chapter 18, verse number 1. He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversaries. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continuing coming she weary me. Now look at this verse number 6. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. So the Lord has defined for us in these verses what it means to be an unjust judge. Number one, he did not fear God. And number two, he did not regard man. He did not care what God said about anything. And he did not care what hardships his unjust judgments caused any man. When anyone develops that type of judgmental spirit, they will always be considered by the Lord an unjust judge. In Luke chapter 12, verse 57, the Lord said this. He said, yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? So we must be cautious in the way that we judge and not render unjust judgments upon people. The next thing I want us to do is to look at the definition of just judgments from the Word of God. Look in John chapter 5. John chapter 5. the Word of God, Jesus Christ speaking again in John chapter 5. And I want you to look what he says beginning in verse number 30. He says this, John chapter 5, verse number 30. The Word of God reads like this. Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just. Why, Lord? Because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. For us to render right judgments, just judgments, we must first, the first requirement is that we must judge things or people seeking the will of God about the matter. God, what do you say about this situation? What are your judgments about this matter? What does your word describe as right or wrong? So many Christians today have gotten caught up in this acceptance and just overlooking the sins of people today. And they've just gone along with the acceptance mentality, and we should accept this, we should accept that. No, we should look into the Word of God and let God's Word judge for us what is right or wrong, not what the world is telling us is right or wrong. So the first requirement is that we seek the will of God in our judgments. The second requirement is found in John 7:24, where he says this. He says, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. The one stumbling block to any of our judgments, I'm bad about this. I'm openly confessing tonight. One stumbling block that I have in my judgments is the way things appear. I look at a situation, I look at a person, I can meet somebody for the one time, and I look at them and I've already got them figured out. I know none of y'all do that. I know nobody else in this room or listening by broadcast. I know none of y'all do that, but I do that. I mean, I look at somebody and I analyze them with one glance, and I've got them figured out from top to bottom. I know what they've done in their past, what they are in the present. I know where they're headed in the future. I mean, that's just my old nature of looking at things. But Jesus said, do not judge things according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. John 8:15, Jesus said this again. Ye judge after the flesh. Jesus is not saying don't look at something and judge it, but be careful of the way we perceive the outward appearance of people. Let me give you an illustration. I could be walking along and I could come up, be walking through the woods, and I could come up on a bush, and over in that bush I happen to see something with a triangular head and coiled up and rattling. I mean, just sounding out a rattle. I wouldn't look at that and say, well, I better not judge that because it may look like a rattlesnake, but it may not really be a rattlesnake. He's not saying that. He's not saying be stupid in our judgment. He's just warning us about the way we look at people with one glance and judge somebody from an outward appearance of what we suppose that they might be. Look at this in Luke chapter 7 with me. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, the Lord was at a banquet in a man's house. A Pharisee had invited him to come into his house. And look what he says in Luke chapter 7, verse number 36. It says, one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. Behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, began to wash his feet with tears, did wipe them with the hairs of her head, kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now watch the Pharisee and the way he judges this woman by her outward appearance. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake, here it is, within himself, saying, this man, talking about Jesus now, he said, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Now, what's this Pharisee's problem? He sees this woman as a sinner, but he sees not himself as a sinner at all. Notice verse number 40. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat I need to say to thee. And he said, Master, say on. He said, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Look at this. Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. Look at the remarks of Jesus. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. He had to get to the heart of Simon about this issue, because Simon looked down his nose at this woman who entered his house and started making over Jesus. And there sat Simon in all of his piety and Phariseeism. And he thought, this woman's a sinner. I'm not like her. And Jesus said, I got something I need to talk to you about, Simon. And he said, you didn't owe but 50. She owed 500. What you think is going to love me more? And he answered it, and Jesus says, you have rightly judged. If we're going to render righteous judgments, number one, we've got to seek the will of God. Number two, we have got to avoid looking at things from outward appearance. And thirdly, we don't need to let petty differences divide our fellowship. In Romans chapter 14, one of the greatest chapters in all of the Word of God, if you'll turn over there, I want you to look at this with me. In Romans chapter 14, this is the answer to how to deal with petty differences. Look, every one of us have got differences. Me and Debbie have got differences. I better not go there. I don't want to stir nothing up tonight, but we've got differences. Me and Brother Terry's got different. Me and Brother Nathan's got difference. There's people that's got all kind of differences of how they just personally prefer things. There's some people that like fast motorboats. Other people, they like slow pontoon boats. That's why we've got both in the world. Some people like blue. Some people like red. Some people like black. Some people like brown. But we cannot let petty divisions and differences divide us, especially as the people of God. Look in Romans chapter 14. The Word of God says this, him, verse number 1, that is weak in the faith, receive you, but not to doubtful disputations, that's petty differences. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. There's some people that they're vegetarians. There's other people that love meat. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not, here it is, judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Listen, among Christian people, there's people that like this and don't like that. And we cannot just judge people according to petty differences. In Romans chapter 14, look at verse number 13. It says this, let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. We should be more readily to look over those little petty differences that we may have among ourselves and be sure that we don't render some kind of stumbling block to somebody that may be weak in the faith. Then I want to say this lastly. We've considered the opening statement. We've considered the overall scriptures. But I want us to lastly consider this, the obvious settlement in our heart about this issue of judging. I want you to look with me in John chapter 12. And I want you to look at who is the ultimate judge. Look in John chapter 12 tonight. John chapter 12. I want you to begin there with me in verse number 46 of John 12. Jesus Christ said these words. He said, I am come a light into the world. And whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, look at this. I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, watch this, hath one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. We need to understand that the ultimate judge of any person, any situation, any event, anything that we encounter in life will be the Word of God. And it's a personal settlement that we must make. In Acts chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, Peter and John were going to the, were preaching and teaching in the name of Jesus Christ. And they called them, and listen to what it says in Acts 4, verse 18 and 19. It says, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. Listen to what Peter said. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the eyes of sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. There was a personal settlement in the heart and life of Peter and John. They had settled it before they ever went out preaching. We're going to preach what God says and let it fall where it falls. I'm going to settle it in my heart that God and His Word is the ultimate judge. It's a personal settlement, but it must be a preaching settlement. In Acts chapter 10, verse 42, the Word of God says this, and He commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that is He which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. I want to say something tonight that every preacher and every congregation needs to understand and realize that it is not personal opinions that matter. It is the Word of God and Jesus Christ that matters. So many churches today led by pastors, I guess you want to call them, they want to just gather around and have open discussions or open debates. And they turn a church service into just an open discussion. And they'll sit there and say, well, the way I see it is this, or the way I see it is that. We need to understand this truth, that our personal opinions when it comes to the Word of God will not matter. The only thing that will matter in the end of all things is what this Word has said. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible says this, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith. And how are they doing it? By not standing for the Word of God. Not only is it a personal statement, not only is it a preaching settlement, but it's also a powerful settlement. The Bible says this. We'll turn there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want you to see this. We're almost done. I know we've covered a lot of scripture, but there's so much concerning this thought about judgment that we need to settle with the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I want you to watch this with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look what he says beginning verse number 13. Paul writing to the church at Corinth, he says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Comparing what? Spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, that's the unsaved man, that's the carnal man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they, the things of the Spirit of God, are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because the things of the Spirit of God are spiritually discerned. But look at this. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Is it right for a Christian to judge? Absolutely. We must stand in the judgments of God. And we must judge it according to what the Word of God says and judge it spiritually. He says, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. It's a powerful settlement. When we settle that in our hearts, we can stand against anything the world and its cohorts may thrust at us and accuse us of, because we've settled it by the Word of God. Notice the very last verse of this chapter. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This word contains the mind of Christ about any issue that we may confront in life. But also I want to say this lastly and in closing. Not only is it a personal, a preaching settlement and a powerful settlement, it is a peaceful settlement. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul is writing to Timothy, his son in the faith. And he's telling Timothy, saying, Timothy, listen, I want you to preach the word. I want you to be instant in season, out of season. He said, there's going to come a time when they're not going to endure sound doctrine. I want you to preach. And then he goes on to tell Timothy this. He said, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. It said, Timothy, be sure you finish your course right. Be sure that you render right judgments, because one day you're going to stand yourself before the judge, Jesus Christ. We're all going to stand before Jesus Christ one day, and he's going to judge every one of us. So set your mind and heart to be a spiritual judge of things and people. In Romans chapter 14, verse 10, the Word of God says it like this. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Is it right for a Christian to judge? Is it proper? Is it the right thing to do? Absolutely. No matter what the world demands of us, the Word of God tells us that he that is spiritual judges all things. But it must be done according to the Word of God. I pray that this study has been a help to you tonight in this matter. It helped me. It helped me to understand that it's not me that's judged this world. It's the Word of God. And that alone is what matters. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Thank you for being a part of this broadcast. Be sure to tell somebody else about it and make sure that they know so that they can watch it in the days to come. Thank you for being a part. We love you. God bless you. And till we see you Sunday morning at 10:45.